Well, tonight we're going to continue to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I want to talk a little bit about tonight the how Jesus operated in them. Amen? It's good. One thing we could talk about it. It's also another thing in operation. Jesus casts out demons in the name of Jesus. I said in the name of Jesus. He casts out demons by the power of the Holy Spirit. We see he set people free in the name of Jesus. And the whole, one of the primary things with the gifts of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit are to help people and deliver them, right? The enemy wants to tear us down, wants to humiliate us. And so let's look at Luke chapter 5 tonight. Amen. We're going to talk about the word of knowledge. We're going to walk through the gifts of the Spirit tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus is all about blessing us, and the enemy wants to reduce us down. He wants to humiliate us again. The devil just wants to embarrass people. He wants to, bring shame to people. And so we see Jesus delivers people. Luke chapter 5, verse 21. Well, let me just back up here too before we get started. Let's talk about the gifts of the Spirit. We'll define them, and then we're going to go into talking about each one and how Jesus operated in them. Amen? Because Jesus did not do anything until he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 4, when his cousin, John, baptized him in the Holy Spirit, then that's when he began. The Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness for 40 days. He fasted 40 days. And then Jesus defeated the devil. Three times he came to tempt him, and it says he left for a season. So that's why we need to have the Holy Spirit, power of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, these are the gifts of the Spirit. That means these are things that the Holy Spirit brings along to help us as believers. Number one, we'll start in chapter 12, verse 7. And it says, by the manifestation of the Spirit. So we cannot conjure these things up, can we? This is something given to us by the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Like I said before, you can't fake a miracle, right? Either an arm grows out or it doesn't. I mean, it's just, there's no faking that, is there? No. Or, now, like I talked about last week or a few weeks ago, Paul talks about the only thing you could fake are the vocal gifts, right? You could prophesy over somebody and make stuff up. But, as far as like gifts of healing or special gifts of faith or things like that where there's manifestations of something, it's the Holy Spirit. And everything is from the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, it says, in 2, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Here we go, verse 8, 4 to 1 is given by the Spirit of the Word of Wisdom. We're going to define these tonight. We're going to look at how Jesus operated in these gifts. Number 2, the Word of Wisdom. Also, another, which is faith, or we like to say some people call special gifts of faith. To another, gifts of healing, right? That's another one, too. You just can't fake a healing, right? Either are healed or you're not. Working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, here we go, diverse kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues, right? Now, we don't see tongues and interpretation when Jesus walked the earth. Those were given to us after he died, rose from the dead, and those are things that are now in what we call the church age, which is where we're at right now. So we see those 9 gifts of the Spirit in operation, and Jesus operated in all of them. And as we're looking at Luke chapter 5, verse 21. Now, this isn't just some kind of teaching that we need to kind of ho-hum in, but I actually operated in just about all of these. I mean, before I even pastored, just some things that if you get into the Word, now some people, they're all hung up on these gifts. Well, I don't have that gift, and I don't have that gift, and I don't have that gift. Just be open to the Lord about these things, right? We don't, you know, we always want to label everybody. Like, well, he's just got a special gift of this, and he's got a special gift of that, and he's got a special gift of this. Well, you know, God told Moses to go confront Pharaoh, and Moses had a stuttering problem. So, you know, if you think that, well, I just don't have this, I'm not super spiritual, I'm just super this, and I'm not that, well, you're limiting God, right? Because as believers, we should be able to walk in these things, okay? But the beginning point is being filled with the Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And so let's look at the word of knowledge. And so if we look at Luke chapter 5, verse 21, it's 21 through 26. But when the Pharisees and teachers of the religious law said to themselves, who does he think he is that's blaspheme? Only God forgives sin. Now, Jesus had gone in there and said, hey, your sins are forgiven. Verse 22, Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or to stand up and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. And immediately, as everyone watched, the man jumped up, picked up his mat, and went home praising God. And everyone was gripped with great wonder and awe, and they praised God, exclaiming, we have seen amazing things today. Now, in this one here, there's multiple gifts going on, isn't there? But the one I want to focus on is a word of knowledge. And Jesus knew what they were thinking, right? Now again, Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Yes, he was completely divine. But the main thing was the reason why he came to the earth in the flesh. He was completely completely divine as well. But his point was he had to function as a man to deliver us, because a man got us into this mess, and a physical man had to get us out of the mess. So he had to come as a physical man to redeem us, but he also had to be led by the Holy Spirit. Not only was that to defeat the enemy, but he's also showing us as an example of what we need to do, right? Because we need to be led by the Holy Spirit, and Jesus was led by the Spirit, and he walked in these gifts of the Spirit. And so the first one is we see he had a word of knowledge, didn't he? He knew their hearts, their intentions. Isn't that kind of, wouldn't that be good to kind of have that, right? Where you're talking with somebody and you kind of insight. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, these gifts aren't like psychics or anything else where you get in and you just try to, it's the difference between, again, the gifts of, well, many, but one of the big differences between the gifts of the Spirit we're going to talk about rather than psychics is because in all of this, you know, stuff is, first of all, the gifts of the Spirit are an operation given by the Holy Spirit, okay? And it says, there it says, as he wills. Not what we want to just turn on and turn off and how we feel and everything else too. Now, the psychic realm is demonic, right? Because they're dealing with familiar spirits. And also too, those are things now, you know, they're getting into this realm, and it's, again, what they want to do when they want it. And the Holy Spirit gives it to us as we need it, right? And as he wants us to know some things. I always like to say sometimes too, you know, if we wouldn't be blabbing everything to everybody about everything all the time, maybe the Lord would show us more things. I remember, you know, somebody was talking one time and like, well, the Lord showed me this and the Lord showed me that. And then all of a sudden it's like they have less knowledge and less knowledge and less things, because it's like I keep noticing everything you keep saying keeps blabbing about things. And the Lord wants us to reveal things as we need it, right? I mean, how would we really be able to handle knowing everything about everybody at all time? No, we wouldn't, right? So the Lord reveals things to us as we need it and as we need to function in things. And that's why we need to pray and believe in the powerful aspect of praying in the Holy Spirit, is because we're praying out mysteries. And sometimes we don't need to know things about people. Sometimes he does reveal things to us. But at this time, the Holy Spirit revealed this to Jesus, the intent and the heart of the Pharisees. Then we see later on that there was a gift of faith involved, right? A miracle where the man stood up. So we're seeing multiple gifts of the Spirit in operation here, right? Look at Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. So you know Jesus just knew things, right? He always had ultimate wisdom, and he just knew what to say, you know? And it's kind of like Solomon. Remember Solomon, King Solomon, when he kind of came to fame? And you ever read about there, King Solomon, right when he came into power after his father had died, King David had died, and when he came into power, there's two women that came along, right? And both of them had babies. One of them had the baby had died in the middle of the night. The other one was alive. So the one that her baby had died, she swapped them out. And in the morning, obviously, the real mother figured out, this isn't my baby. And they stood before the king. And King Solomon said, okay, that's fine. What we'll do is we'll just take the baby, the live baby, and we'll just cut it in half. And then we'll give you each a part. And then, of course, the real mother said, what? No, don't do that. And then he instantly found out, well, that is wisdom, isn't it? That's just knowing something for God, just how to do things, how to handle things. And that's definitely something that is a gift from the Holy Spirit. And we see here this wisdom in Mark chapter 12, verse 13. And it says, later, the leaders sent some Pharisees and supporters of Herod to trap Jesus into saying something which he could be arrested for. Teacher, they said. Now, this is something that, again, the word of knowledge is something that Jesus kind of understood their hearts and what they were doing, or at least knew what they were thinking. This is the word of wisdom, is something he knew their intent. And we can also see things like King Solomon, and Jesus had other things here. We'll get into some other things that Jesus had wisdom on. But it says, teacher, they said, we know how honest you are. You are impartial and don't play favorites. Uh-huh. So we're buttering up. You teach the way of God truthfully. Yeah, it's kind of like the people who don't like you saying something nice about you and trying to butter you up. I mean, first of all, that's his red flag. But he says, now tell us, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should we pay them or shouldn't we? Now, this is something very interesting here, because they're waiting for a what? Yes or no answer, right? They're waiting for this answer to say yes or no. I've never had that with your kids before. Sometimes they come before you and they ask you a question, a yes or no answer. And sometimes the correct answer is not yes or no. Sometimes the correct answer is something completely different. See, notice how often when they come to Jesus, they're trying to trap him into a yes or no answer. Or, you know, pick one or the other. And Jesus is like, I'm not going to play your game and that's what the devil wants you to do. He wants to give you the options and try to manipulate you to make one of his decisions. Wisdom says, neither one of these is right. The right answer is completely different and not even one of the choices. And here's what Jesus says. He says, verse 22, I'm sorry, it says, Jesus saw through their hypocrisy and said, why are you trying to trap me? Show me a Roman coin and I'll tell you. When they handed it to him, he asked, whose picture and title is stamped on it? Caesar's, they replied. Well, then Jesus said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. His reply completely amazed them. See, this is something where a gift of the Spirit in operation, sometimes A or B is not the right answer, but it's actually like Z or Q or something like that, isn't it? It's some completely different, and that's where the wisdom of God comes from. It's the gift of wisdom is something that we can have. And we can know what the right answer is, even though sometimes the choices aren't relevant. Matthew chapter 17, verse 14. And this is Jesus sensing the demonic presence, isn't it? We're seeing here at verse 14, and it says, at the foot of the mountain, a large crowd was waiting for them. A man came and knelt before Jesus and said, Lord, have mercy on my son. He has seizures and suffers terribly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. So I brought him here to you and to your disciples, but they couldn't heal him. So when they bring the boy to him, they're thinking it's seizures and it's something natural, right? And in verse 17, Jesus said, you faithless and corrupt people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy here. And then Jesus rebuked the demon in the boy, and it left him. From that moment, the boy was well. So again, sometimes the discerning of spirits is not necessarily a sickness or a disease. Sometimes it's a spirit involved, right? I remember Peter. You know, I was like Peter. He just opens his mouth and says dumb things a lot, right? But, you know, obviously he had more guts than wisdom sometimes. But Jesus called him the rock. But it's amazing how we can maybe have good intentions, but sometimes we're, you know, operating in some not so good things. And we see here in Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. And you know, who would have thought that Peter would have been listening to the devil when you're walking right with Jesus all the time, right? I mean, you know, you're living with Jesus all the time. But what's he do? He submits to the devil. And, you know, we can sit there. I mean, it's easy for us to sit here now and point to the disciples that they, what were you thinking? What were you thinking? Because we're in the cheap seats now, right? We can kind of look back and think, you know, what were they thinking at the time? But when you're in the moment, sounds good. Mark chapter 8, verse 31 says, then Jesus began to tell them that the Son of Man must suffer many terrible things and be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of the religious law, and he would be killed. But 3 days later, he would rise from the dead. And as he talked about this openly with his disciples, Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. Now, see, this sounds really noble and novel, doesn't it, right? Well, first of all, Jesus here is, it's hard to delineate sometimes with Jesus because he's operating in so many of the gifts of the Spirit in operation. So what's he saying? He's actually prophesying at the beginning, isn't he? He's prophesying of his destiny. He's prophesying of the things that the Father has commissioned him to do. Then later, he's what? Operating in discerning of spirits. So he's actually in the gift of prophecy, prophesying what he's going to do. He's going to be, you know, he's going to die. He's going to be raised from the dead. And then Peter's sitting there saying, no, you don't need to do that. We can figure out a way, Jesus. We don't need to know this. And what's Jesus say? Verse 33, and Jesus turned around and looked at his disciples and then reprimanded Peter, get away from me, Satan. That's pretty strong words, isn't it? How'd you like to have that, right? You dirty rascal. You know what? I'm convinced that if Jesus was pastor today, how many people here in America, how big that church was, right? Calling people the devil. Can you imagine that? A group of people, you know. You're the devil. You know, you're submitting to a demonic spirit, right? We just read that Jesus came along and he said, you know, how long do I have to put up with your pathetic faith? How'd you like to have that? We were trying to pray for somebody, and then Jesus comes along and says, you know what, you're kind of pathetic. You know what? You guys are just really kind of pathetic, you know what? He said, get away from me, Satan. You are seeing things merely, here we go, from a human point of view and not from God's. Isn't that interesting? He said, you're looking at things through a human point of view and not God's. Jesus always had an eternal perspective, didn't he? The Bible is standing from an eternal perspective. And what's Peter doing? Let's get a quick fix. Let's get out of this mess. Let's just get out of here. Let's do this. And Jesus is thinking, no, this is an eternal aspect here. This is something that's going to impact humanity. It's going to go beyond. Why? Because the gift of the Holy Spirit is operating in Jesus' life, and he's revealing things to him and discerning his spirits. What sounds good could be devilish and evil, but the Holy Spirit brings back and reveals things to us, right? Because it's interesting because, you know, Jesus with the Pharisees and the Sadducees came along and said, oh, you're such a good teacher, and you lead people into God's truth, and no one does it like you, and everything else too. It sounds good, but it's evil on the other end, isn't it? And it's good to know, often the Holy Spirit will lead us and to find out, okay, what's really going on with this person, right? I'm always asking that question a lot too, especially, again, you have kids, people around you, you're always thinking, what's really going on behind the scenes, right? Trying to always look at things. Not that I'm drudging people or anything else too, but I'm like, on the inside, I'm thinking, okay, how do I respond to that? What's really the intent here? Help me understand some things. Because again, these aren't just something that's it's really good, but these are something we can operate in every day. We can begin to operate in and see, okay, Holy Spirit, help me with this. The Bible says we don't receive because we don't ask. No, we don't receive because you don't ask. We need to ask about things. We need to consult the Lord more. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Do you know how many people, I've gotten in conversations with people, you know, I don't have anything against other denominations or anything, but you know, I've been in conversations with people about anything supernatural, anything, especially Mark chapter 16, verse 15 through 20, and how many people want to argue. And anytime you bring up something supernatural or, you know, the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit, people just get downright angry. But you know, you cannot separate God from the supernatural. You cannot separate the gifts of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit from the Holy Spirit. It all comes together. It's something that's just a package. Like you can't separate Jesus from miracles. They just came with Jesus hand in hand. You know, people say, well, I just don't believe in miracles or anything else too. Well, Jesus was about love. He was about miracles. He was about healing. He was about delivering people. He was about helping people. He was about feeding people. I mean, everything about Jesus is about the spiritual, the physical, and the emotional well-being of people. And Matthew chapter 14, verse 13, it says, as Jesus had heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone, but the crowds heard where he was headed and followed on foot from many towns. And Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them, and here we go, and healed their sick. So then we see here what? The gifts of healing, right? The gifts of healing in operation. Verse 15, that evening, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves. But Jesus said, that isn't necessary. You feed them. Can you imagine that? Right? You feed them. And what's their response? Bring them here, he said. Then he told the people to sit down on the grass, and Jesus took the 5 loaves, the 2 fish, looked up to heaven, and blessed them. Then, breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples who distributed it to the people. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterward the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftover, and about 5,000 men were fed that day, in addition to women and children. I personally know people that have had this happen to them. Like, they have been on the mission field, and they have a big old pot of soup, and they have hundreds of people, and they keep dipping, and it keeps coming. Right? I know people. I know about three examples where this has actually happened in real life. Right? I had miracles on the mission field too. It was like, we didn't have any water. It was just awful, terrible. And we had to believe for fresh water, and we prayed for stuff, and we were fine. I mean, miracles, right? Just miracles, miracles, miracles. This stuff happens, you know? Multiple times I've known people that, you know, big old pot, and they just keep dipping, and all of a sudden they got a few hundred people walk through the line, and they got a pot this big. And it just, the food's just still there. God's still good, right? Why do we have to do the mission field to experience these things sometimes, right? Why can't we just believe for this stuff here, right? They don't have options. Yeah. And it's like me. I mean, you know, either I'm can't get out of Casey's over here, or, you know, Quick Trip. Get it? I just, you know. If you got it, you got it, right? Go to the fridge and get it, and God blesses us. But there are just times where, you know what? And no, Jesus could have said, yeah, let's just let them go. You know, they go. We'll just let them go get something to eat themselves, right? But I believe God was wanting to perform a miracle that day and prove himself. Amen? So he fed the 5,000. Absolute miracle. You can't fake that, can you? There's no faking. They didn't have Burger Kings back then. They didn't have places to go. No, you don't like that miracle? Let's look at Matthew chapter 14. And I like to think of a miracle as something, is solving a problem or creating something that a human cannot produce, right? A miracle, that's my definition. So I don't know what. My definition of miracle is it's a problem, it's solving a problem or creating something that no person can produce, right? Like, we just can't multiply and feed 5,000 plus people, you know, I don't know, with wives and kids and who, maybe 10, 15, 20,000, I don't know how many people were there. It's a lot of people. Can you imagine? Two fish, five loaves of bread, you know, anywhere from 5 to 20,000 people eating off of that. It's supernatural. Matthew chapter 14, verse 24. Matthew 14, 24. Jesus is completely amazing. Verse 24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. So again, a miracle. Jesus defines the laws of physics, right? That's a miracle. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke again and said, be good cheer, for it is I, be not afraid. How come every time that, like, an angel appears to somebody or something like this happens, the first thing that they always say is, don't be afraid. You know, don't freak out. You ever notice that? All these angels that appear to people, the first thing they say is, fear not. Don't be afraid. Relax. I know this isn't something you see every day. And then Jesus goes on and he says, but straightway Jesus spoke to them and says, again, be a good cheer. Be not afraid. And in verse 20, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, bid me that I can come to you on the water. And he said, come. And Peter came out of the ship, and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink, and he cried, "Lord, save me." He's already walking on water. And then it says, verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, and said unto him, "Oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt?" And then verse 32, and when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Now, there are multiple times where Jesus fed people, right? 4 and the 5,000. And there's multiple times when Jesus, well, first of all, is at one time he walked on the water here. But the two times that he commanded it to stop. This time here, it stopped when he got in the boat. And then when he's asleep, another time in the back of the boat where he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves. All absolute miracles. So not only did he walk on water, but he also, the wind obeyed him. So we've seen here, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, right? Miracles. These are all supernatural things that I believe that we can walk in. We can see in our lives. We can sense things about people. I remember one time I was this guy, and he was just, it's been a long time ago, but we were sitting there religious, and you know how people will come across and they'll sound religious, and then we'll talk it about, but it's actually often, they don't love God. A lot of these people, they have no heart for God. It's just it's a kind of an ego thing with them, or more of a knowledge thing, or collecting information, or they just want to prove something. And to me, I love listening and reading about the things of Jesus. Not just about Jesus, but I love hearing about what he's done, how he did it, how the Holy Spirit. But one of the things I love the most was up there when he saw the 5,000 people, it says he was moved with compassion. Love it. Because the Holy Spirit he'll move with compassion on us, right? He wants to show us he wants to give us these gifts of often in our lives, these gifts of the Holy Spirit, because he loves us and he wants to help people. He wants things to be better for us. He wants to deliver us. He wants to heal us. He wants to do these things. Now, there's also a part where we believe in the Bible. So there's a personal belief. There's the Holy Spirit gives us a measure of faith. And there's something, too, that we use our faith and we grow. But there's other things that we're talking about tonight. There's gifts of the Spirit where the Holy Spirit steps in and helps us. It just he just helps us do certain things. And like I said, I mean, I've had this happen in my life where, you know, we talk about the gifts of faith and some of these things in operation, where I've got faith, but then I've had situations where I believe for things and I know it's a supernatural help from the Holy Spirit when I'm believing for certain things or certain things in my life, because then it's kind of like I just feel like almost like a wind in my sails, where it's something that I just feel help with sometimes, and the Holy Spirit is there to help us in every situation. Let's look at John chapter 5. Now, there's multiple ways that we receive things. You know, we can receive things by meditating on the Word, right? We can meditate on the Word. We can receive our healing by, you know, meditating on the Word. But there's also another avenue where the Holy Spirit can help us with things. And not only that, I believe it's very important to understand, to have words of wisdom, words of knowledge, to know what's going on with our body, what's going on. Many of you know, just there's a lot of information out there, right? I mean, when you get on the internet, you can go, oh, I bumped my thumb. And then when you start doing research, you're like, oh my gosh, I probably have like leprosy or something. You know, I mean, it's just, this stuff is just crazy out there. You know what I'm saying? you know, people, they get on WebMD and they're doing all this. So there's a lot of information in there. And you know what? It's kind of handy to have the Holy Ghost to help us out, right? It's kind of handy to have the Holy Ghost help us, lead us to, sometimes if I don't have anything against doctors, but, you know, help us with different things and help us with certain things. I just remember doctors, like in the past, I had some things going on and the doctors would prescribe something to me and you should do this. And just on the inside, I'm thinking, I don't know about that. It's just kind of weird, you know? And then I took it and then just, I had some weird reactions. I stopped taking it and I felt really great. And on the inside, I was just kind of thinking, this isn't working for some reason, you know? I felt really weird about it. And now I'm not telling you, again, I'm not a doctor. I don't play one on TV. So take my advice for any medicine or prescriptions. I don't know. I'm just going to lay hands on you and pray. We're going to believe, amen. But those are some things that we just need to be led, right, on some things. Especially if you're single. Man, it's really good to be led by the Holy Spirit on who to marry, right? Just saying. You know, there's certain things in our lives where you got to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I need your help here. I need to be led. And I think just in the world we live in, it's so important just to be led. Amen? And to pray over your food. Too. Those other things too. It's just, we need God's help, right? Because I don't want to get paranoid or anything, but we live in a sinful environment that, you know, things can happen and God can help us though. And so we're looking here at gifts of healing next. John chapter 5, verse 1. I tell you what, if you don't read these things and get excited about God, you know, the Lord helping people supernaturally, healing people and moving with compassion, you know, feeding people because they're, you know, they're faint, and Jesus just multiplying, you know, fish and bread and doing things to help people and healing people and just being there for them and all kinds of wonderful things. We look at John chapter 5, verse 1. It says, afterwards, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holidays. And inside the city, near the sheep gate, was a pool, Bethesda, with 5 covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, and paralyzed, lay on the porches. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. 38 years of just dealing with this thing. And when Jesus saw him, he knew he had been ill for a long time. See, there again, he just knew, right? There's just something in him that he just knew was drawn to this man. And he asked him, would you like to get well? You notice how God's never going to bypass your will. You ever notice that? Every time in Scripture, you know, this little boy was sick, and what did he say? He says, where's his parents at? Right? Because the parents have authority over little kids. Right? And when he says, I can't, sir. So this guy didn't have any faith in anything, did he? He's like, I'm here, I want to be healed, but I can't. That doesn't sound like a lot of faith, does it? For I have no one to put me in the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me. And Jesus told him, well, stand up and pick up your mat and walk. And instantly the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking, but this miracle happened on the Sabbath, which is a big no-no, apparently, right? We can't help people and heal people on the Sabbath, right? So that's obviously kind of weird. What do we see here? Jesus knew something about this man. He was drawn. This man really didn't have faith, but God, you know, Jesus comes and he has a gift of healing, right? Blesses him anyway, and he is instantly healed. You know, sometimes God just, you know, we're obviously, you know, I would say in my, our kind of in our denomination, a lot of the focus is on you receiving faith and you meditating on the word, which is true. You know, just sometimes God just wants to bless and help you out of nowhere, right? He just wants to sucker punch you with a blessing, right? He just wants to help you, you know? And there's just those times where he just wants to step in and help you. I've seen different things too, where God just steps in and just helps me out of nowhere, whether just somebody come along and help us or do something just kind of out of nowhere. And there's just these gifts or something just happened, and God just out of his love and his mercy wants to help us. And I believe that to be able to understand the connect with the gifts of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit, begin as we walk with God, know that He still wants to help us, even though sometimes we may be struggling in faith, we may be dealing with things. I believe God, in His compassion, still is working on our behalf, even when we don't see it. And I think tonight, as we look at the gifts of the Spirit, it's encouraging to know that God, you know, because a lot of these people had nothing to do with these healings. They had nothing to do with any of this stuff. They were just going on their day, and Jesus just wrecked them and just, whoop. Sorry, those disability checks aren't going to be coming anymore, but you can walk, right? And He wrecked their day in a good way. He came along and healed them. That guy at the Pool of Bethesda thought he was waiting on year 39 without walking. And Jesus interrupted his day and completely changed his life. And I believe that's one of the reasons why the gifts of the Spirit are here, is for God is still in the process and in the business of doing things just to help us, right? And that's where God wants to bless us, where He wants to help us, even though sometimes we're not there. He still wants to come in and do things for us. Faith. Mark chapter 11. All of these things are gifts from God. They are gifts from the Holy Spirit. They are manifestations of the Holy Spirit. God is still in the business to help us, to rescue us, to heal us, to do things for us. I remember just in conjunction there, I've taught it before, but or talked about it before, just gifts of healing. I've come in and, you know, one time, I've been a couple of times where, and it's just interesting because I think God sometimes wants to throw us off. We're not ready for things sometimes. And I remember just really tired Saturday night, and it was where we had church on Sunday morning, and a couple times I'd get hospital visit calls, and I remember really exhausted. It was late. I said, yes, I'll go, and I was exhausted, and I'm just all these things going on. And when I get there, lady was there, and I prayed for her, and I asked her if I could pray for her. Yeah. And her, I was kind of at the foot of her bed, and I touched her foot, and it was just, I was exhausted. I didn't feel anything. I was just like, Lord, help me do this. I want to pray for her. I want to help her. And I was just kind of physically, mentally drained. And when I got there, I touched her foot, and it just felt like a bolt of lightning just went right through her. Like it came from me and just went right into her. And I mean, she was just instantly healed. And I was thinking, that ain't me. I don't feel anointed. I don't feel anything, right? But I was there and willing and just there. Other times I believe that the God is just the faith that I had, I've healed or helped help people, but just that day, I've had a number of those where I just show up and I don't feel anything and I'm there and I just feel kind of, you know, for whatever reason, and God just shows up, and those are the gifts of the Spirit. And now, whether you use your faith or it's gift of the Spirit, it all comes from God, right? He doesn't share any glory with anybody. And so the gifts of the Spirit are here to help us in a time of need. And so we look at the gifts of healing. And we look at Mark chapter 11. And I know this is the faith. And this is something that we can speak to something and use our faith. But also, too, there are times, again, where God will give us faith, help us do something that we may not be prepared for. In Mark 11, we'll start in verse 12. The next morning, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. You notice a fig tree in full leaf, halfway off. And so he went over to see if he could find any figs, but there was only leaves because it was too early in season for fruit. And then Jesus said to the tree, may no one ever eat fruit from this again. And the disciples heard him say it. Then we also see later on, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 through 3, well, we see that, again, what happened to the tree? It died because there is because of things that Jesus spoke, there was a faith involved with that. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. Now, some of the people that we look at in the Gospels, some of these people, they were having faith because they'd heard about Jesus. They believed some things, right? Like the one with the issue of blood. If I would just, what, touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. So again, she believed in Jesus. She was approaching Jesus. There was something she was believing for. And there's a number of people that were like the centurion soldier, just speak the word, my servant will be healed. There are people that just, they were believing for things. And then there's other instances where Jesus just shows up on the scene, operates in the gifts of the Spirit, and helps people. And so we're looking here at Matthew chapter 8, verse 1, and it says, and when he was come down to the mountain, a great multitude followed him. In verse 2, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Well, he didn't know if it was God's will or not. How many people in the world are living in that area, right? Living in that. Well, I'm not sure if it's God's will or not. Well, Jesus is about ready to set this straight. And in verse 3, it says, Jesus put forth his hands and touched him. He says, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy, he was cleansed. He just wasn't sure if it was God's will or not. And Jesus answered that question by, oh yeah, I'm willing, and just be clean. In Matthew 21, verse 13, Matthew 21, excuse me, verse 13. Matthew 21, verse 13 and 14, New Living Translation says, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you made it a den of thieves. And then in verse 14, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple. And here we go. And he healed them. Now, the other times where Jesus shows up and it says what? He healed the multitude, right? Every single person. Well, you know that some of those people may have had faith just because they saw the healings and they believed it and they just heard. But other people just showed up, right? You know, in the Bible, we see things. We see Jesus. We see, obviously, you know, Jesus is our, he's, you know, the leader. And then we look at Jesus' disciples. We see John, right, which was the closest one, the closest to him. And then the next was Peter, James, and John. And then we see the 12 disciples. And then we see the 70. And then what we see, the multitudes, right? And the multitudes, sometimes, you know, you get people that show up. They're just spectators, right? See a crowd. You know, this morning we were watching a ball game and we show up and all kinds of people there, right? All kinds of ages and different abilities and mindsets and everything else too, right? All these different people show up. And can you imagine, I mean, not everybody that shows up, I mean, they got a problem, but they're not sure. They're just like, I'm just kind of here, you know? I don't know really what's going to happen. And what's Jesus? He heals them all. What's that? That's a gift of healing in operation, isn't it? God is using Jesus, and there's a gift. The Holy Spirit is operating through him as a gift of healing. Because all these people, they don't have faith, do they? Right? They're worried about, you know, getting their bills paid or, you know, what's going on here, what's going on there, and they just show up and like, well, this guy does some pretty cool stuff. I'm going to, you know. Remember Herod when Jesus came to him and he's like, show me a miracle. Do something cool. And what did he say? You're a fool. Go back to Pilate, right? So Herod had heard about things about Jesus and wanted him just to perform miracles. And what, Jesus didn't even answer him. Didn't respond. Didn't do anything. So Jesus' fame was widespread. But again, why? Because Jesus would just go into areas and just heal everybody. There was a gift of healing, gifts of healing involved here. I am not going to get through any of this stuff here tonight. Let's look at prophecy next, amen? Let's look at prophecy and just some things that the Holy Spirit revealed to Jesus about his ministry and things he would do. And then also, too, about what the end would look like. And so we look at Luke chapter 17, verse 24. Luke 17, 24. So many people are freaked out about the gifts of the Spirit. We should just absolutely love the gifts of the Spirit. We should welcome the Holy Spirit. You know, you're right. You know, people act like gifts of healing. I mean, just somebody supernaturally gets healed, like that's weird. And you know what? Hallelujah. You know, the whole thing of it is too, if somebody gets healed of cancer or some disease or something that happens, you know, they're probably extremely happy about it. And so the gifts of the Holy Spirit are here to help us. They're here to bless us. And also, too, we see prophetic things in our lives. And not only Jesus speaking about him and the end times, we'll hear her too, but the Lord can give us prophetic things about our own lives and about our children and about things, and God can show us things and reveal things to us that we need to know moving forward. And so Jesus here is speaking prophetically in verse 24, and we'll close here, and it says, Luke chapter 17, verse 24, "For as the lightning that lights out of one part of under heaven shines into the other part of heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in this day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation." Again, prophetically speaking, and there's so many of these that Jesus spoke about, prophetically speaking about what would be happen. John chapter 2, verse 19. John chapter 2, verse 19, it says, "Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Didn't have any idea. Those people around him thought that they were going to build up the tower, or the Solomon's temple. And there was Herod's temple at that time, but they thought, it took how many years to build this, and you're going to raise it up in 3 days? You're nuts. Well, they did not understand he was speaking prophetically about his resurrection in 3 days. And then in verse 26, and as Jesus is speaking about the end times, which I believe this is now, we are at the end times. We are getting closer and closer every day. And then he says here, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man." Here we go. "They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, and until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also it was in the days of Lot, and they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day as that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone in heaven, and it'll destroy them all. Even thus it shall be in the days of the Son of Man is revealed." And so Jesus is sitting here by the Holy Spirit prophetically. In, you know, it's just interesting how he used the days of Noah. The days of Noah. He didn't talk about the days of Babylon. He didn't talk about anything else. He said the days of Noah. The days of Noah. What were the days of Noah? The days of Noah were it was everything on the earth was evil. Except for what? One family. It was Noah. That was it. And Jesus had a prophetic understanding. He was prophesying not only about his own life and his own destiny, but he was also prophesying about what it would be like when he came back. He's like, man, everything was destroyed in the days of Noah, and it's going to be just like that when I come back, when I'm revealed, when you're going to see me coming back. And see, all of this is orchestrated from the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we see how Jesus operated in many of those, in those gifts, and how often we can see those things operating in our lives as well. It's like, wow, that just sounds crazy. No, it's not. The Holy Spirit's here to help us. And sometimes, you know, we can just call on him. Lord, again, we can, you know, it's very good to build our faith, to get into the Word. We need to do this. But how many of you know that if we just do it on just our own merit, then we leave God out. But we also have to keep in mind, even though we meditate on the Word, we understand the Word, we can walk in faith, there's just that thing where God, it all comes from Him. His Word is supernatural. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are supernatural. And there's things where God will step out and do and help us, even though sometimes we're not prepared. We may miss the mark or anything. It's based on His compassion for us, that he can help us when we need it. And remember, healing comes from him. Miracles come from him. All of this comes from him. It doesn't I think one of the dangers as we close here tonight, and that I've seen just years of things where, you know, we think that it's our ability or things are happening because of what we do. No, everything happens is because of the grace of God and His mercy and His power that He's doing things on our behalf to help us because He loves us. And so, you know, we obviously can walk and experience more things as we get closer to God and we spend more time with the Word and we have more revelation of things and we build up our faith. But then there's also that gifts of the Spirit where as we're walking with Him, He'll just step in and help us do things sometimes because He loves us. Amen? I think sometimes we just lose sight of things where, again, we think we all these works and there is a walking with God and sanctification and holiness and justification, all these things. And there's righteousness, which Jesus paid for, and we are righteous because of His payment. But on the other hand, God is still doing things on our behalf, and He's doing things behind the scenes that we don't know about. And that's part of living by faith, is expecting Him to be able to help us in those times of need when we need His help. Amen? I mean, I've been in cars before where He has supernaturally saved me, doing things, and I don't get in a car going, well, I think I'm going to get in a wreck one day. I think somebody's almost going to hit me. No, but God knows what's happening on the other end, right? This is why it's important, I believe, to pray. We'll get more into it next week. The results of praying in the Holy Ghost, that we're praying out mysteries unto God, you know, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, or chapter 14, verse 2 through 4. But we're praying out mysteries and things like that. And I believe the help of the Holy Spirit, He's helping us do things that we don't understand, we don't know what's going on, but He's there to help us. And I believe we get on the other side, it's going to be like, thank you, Lord, for helping us. Thank you for doing these things. Thank you for protecting us. And He's just, again, it all comes back to His compassion for us. The more we believe and have an understanding of His compassion and His love, and He wants good things for us, then we can receive more things from Him. Amen? Because, again, faith worketh by love, and the love is, I believe, the main ingredient that's going to help us receive from things. Amen? That God does love us. He's working on our behalf. All of these things He wants to help us in the process, and He's a good God full of compassion. Lord, tonight we thank You so much for Your love and Your compassion. Holy Ghost, through this series, we want to become more aware of You. We want to become more aware of Your love, more aware of Your presence and the ministry that You continue here on the earth for Jesus. And Jesus, we love You. We thank You for coming, being obedient, and also sending the Holy Spirit, the Helper, our God, our Advocate, our Intercessor, our Helper, our Comforter, to come help us in the things that we need. And we give You the glory and the honor in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, have a great week, everyone.